Well, my fellow brutes, it's your host here, Turin Barr, with Ed Bighead, and also bringing in Mr. Pat McCarthy, who is also known as the Scalzo Suck, who's also known as the most hated man on all of the Snake Pit. Bringing you guys today to talk about the break and how we miss the team playing real baseball and how we hopefully continue to play good baseball. All right, let's bring them all in. Can you guys hear me now?
I can definitely hear you now.
Excellent. Modern technology. So,
that's
how you guys doing?
I'm Pat here.
Oh, he's there.
Can you hear me, guys?
Oh, there he is. There.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, yeah.
Good.
Technical difficulties earlier.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, we apologize for that. Patrick's a fucking dumbass when it comes to the wires and the cords and things like that. So,
not you, Pat.
Turin Barr. So, yeah, sorry to throw the real guy under the bus.
Clarify.
Thanks, douchebag.
So, Pat, you messaged us on Facebook and said, I want to do a podcast, and I thought that was great. So here we are. You're obviously a huge Diamondbacks fan. You've got a lot of passion in you. And, I mean, you had your name was Descalso Sucks. So do you still think that Descalso sucks, or what's going on with that?
Not anymore. I mean, I can't – not this year, at least. When I first started posting on here – I think honestly it was something about me not wanting the Diamondbacks to exercise Descalso's option. And I actually received quite a bit, not backlash, but people saying, actually, we'd prefer to have him. He's like a cheap utility player. And I went into all these reasons about why I thought he was no good, awful, had no business being on a major league roster. And I used some colorful language, I believe, throughout the whole thing. And then I got some backlash on there for the way that I went about it. And I mean, this year he has totally and completely changed my mind. In that mid-season review that I posted, I mentioned about how he's been one of the Diamondbacks' best hitters. And I mean, I'd be a fool to say that he's my least favorite player on the Diamondbacks. And I'd be a fool to say he didn't belong on the Diamondbacks this year, because he's definitely proved his worth.
So it definitely sounds like you have atoned for your sins. I'm sure that you faced the North and prayed to Lord Emperor Goldschmidt himself for forgiveness. Is that true as well?
I did, yes. I begged for forgiveness.
Excellent. So tell us about the rest of the team, okay? So we know that, you know, your feelings about the Scouts last season and into the offseason, and now he's good. What about the rest of the team? Who do you think is the most valuable player on the team right now?
So I think I said in that mid-season review, I said Patrick Corbin was the MVP for the first half, but I definitely have to say Paul Goldschmidt's the most valuable player on the whole team right now. I'm backtracking on what I said, but I just saw what Patrick Corbin did in the first half, solidifying that rotation despite Greinke's not slow start, but weird start, and then losing Robbie Ray and, you know, having Clay Buckles for a little bit and then losing him. I just thought what Patrick Corbin did was, and you know, hold down that rotation for the whole first half of the season. But I also I was thinking in my head between Paul Goldschmidt and Patrick Corbin, and I just can't forget that awful stretch Paul Goldschmidt had in which I thought he was broken, and there was no way in hell we were ever going to, you know, consider signing him to an extension, and I thought he was never going to get back to his old levels, and then here he is with almost a 150 runs created.
When he was slumping, were you calling for him to be sent down to the minors or sat down on the DL for 10 days, anything like that? What were your thoughts on that?
Definitely not the minors, but I wouldn't have minded a phantom DL spin at the time. You know, you see teams do it all the time. The Dodgers, every little thing, they chip a toenail, they're putting him on the DL so they can just give him a little bit of time off. And I thought
it was like a
Vila. What'd you say?
I said it sounds like what happened with a Vila.
Oh, I was begging for that for a Vila, yeah. And I think that's kind of ended up what happened, right?
Pretty much.
So,
and yeah. You know, maybe it's a little early, but it looks like that has helped a Vila. But, you know, then again, who knows?
So in one of your posts, Pat, you had mentioned, it's clear that Detroit has issues with their batted ball data. So please, for everyone quoting Avila's hard hit rate, please take it with a grain of salt. So Avila's hard hit rate is different in Detroit than it would be in Chase Field. Is that what you're saying?
So there was – I went back and forth. I read a few different articles about it, and I think what settled on is earlier in the year. I'd have to do some digging to find the article, but I think the batted ball data was – so there's StatCast data, and then there's your standard battered ball data, which is, I think, by Baseball Info Solutions. And I think that was inflated, and the StatCast data wasn't inflated. And so I think what we settled on – what, not me, but what some baseball analysts have settled on is that there really wasn't anything all that wrong with Comerica Park's batted ball readings, and that, they just had good hitters who were actually hitting the ball hard, and that's why it looked inflated. But I don't know. Now it kind of seems like maybe there was something off there, because Avila came over here. I'd have to look at exactly what his hard hit rate was, but I can't imagine it's very high.
Right. So. Speaking of the offense, what do we got to do to get this offense going? Sousa's looking like Sousa should, at least a little bit. We're still having offensive struggles. Lamb is obviously a name I can put out there. Owings is a definite name that I can put out there. What do we got to do to get this offense going? We obviously didn't get Manny Machado. Doesn't look like we're going to go and trade for a bat. So we just stay the course and hope that these guys snap out of Candyland, or what do you suggest?
I would love to see – yeah, two people you already mentioned, Steven Sousa. I would love to see him get back to last year's numbers. I mean, he was a threat in the AL East last year playing for the Rays. And then if we could get Jake Lamb back to what he was doing the first half of last year, that would be awesome. Because I was looking at him, Jake Lamb, in depth in the offseason, and I couldn't find any reason why he slumped as bad as he did in the second half last year. All of his walk rate – batted profile, it all stayed the same. And it seems like this year a similar thing is sort of happening. And so I would love for him to be that, like, number four hitter back, just driving guys in. But I definitely think those two guys can just step up to the plate and then get Chris Owings off the roster.
So
there's
got to
be someone in the minor leagues that, I don't know, can at least hold his own.
Tell us how you really
feel. I didn't want Devin Marrero back over Chris Owings at this point.
That's actually opinion. Pretty good insight. Like that is pretty good insight. So let's move on then to the pitching situation. In your in some of the things that you posted is that you don't think Shipley is very good. So you're not a fan of Shipley, but it seems like you're a fan of Scherfy.
I am a fan of Scherfy. This is kind of a dumb reason, but I was watching a Diamondbacks game, and they showed an interview of him, and I just remember him. He was using dude in every single sentence. He was describing, like, his favorite players on the Diamondbacks. It was like, oh, Paul Goldschmidt's a cool dude. Jake Lamb, yeah, that's a cool dude. And I just liked that personality. I thought it was funny. But, Braden Shipley does not strike out enough guys to – be any sort of threat at the major league level, even in the bullpen. I don't think his stuff is any good. But Scherfy, he came up and was actually pretty decent last year for the Diamondbacks. And from what it looks like, he's putting up, striking out 35% of the guys in AAA right now with a 1.57 ERA. I think there's no reason that we should be holding three lefties with guys like Scherfy sitting in AAA.
So if we got rid of a lefty to bring Scherfy up to play full time, who would that be?
I just think if you're going to go by performance this year, it's got to be Jorge De La Rosa. I think you guys are pretty good fans of TJ McFarland, but I definitely see him as a regression candidate. I think someone mentioned that the other day on one of their comments. But I think it's got to be De La Rosa. I think
the Bruce Squad agrees with that.
And he's coming in with, like, they're, like, down by two runs, which is still a close game, and then De La Rosa coming in, and then we're down by five runs after that. It's pretty frustrating. You can still come back from two runs.
What's your opinion on Chafin lately?
Wasn't he pitching well, quite well, for a while there?
Yeah.
Still hasn't given up a whole run this year.
Oh, well, that's a nice fact. I mean, I didn't – so I appreciate that fact. But it just seems to me when I'm watching him play, they're bringing him in, it's a tight situation. Maybe there's a guy on base, or maybe, you know, we're struggling to get even one out in the seventh or whatnot, maybe the sixth. And we bring him in, and from what I see, the guy gets a hit or the guy gets walked on four pitches, you know. Do you think he's struggling at all, or you, it sounds like you like him and that he's doing well for you?
I definitely think he's our best lefty in our pen. I do not feel comfortable going into a wild card game with him being our best lefty. I definitely think, you know, that's something we're going to have to go out and improve upon, you know, whether it's Zach Britton or Adam Conley, some people want. But I think he's a perfectly fine second lefty in the bullpen. But, yeah, I definitely would not rely on him in any sort of extremely high leverage or high leverage situations or high leverage games.
Okay. One of the other things that you had said was referencing the wild card, and this was probably in January or February. You said, I'm worried about the Diamondbacks now. I see it as Dodgers, Cubs, Nats win their divisions. In on the wild card hunts are the Cardinals, the Diamondbacks, the Giants, and the Brewers, question mark. I guess I'll toss the Rockies in there. The Nationals are probably not going to win the division. The Dodgers definitely probably can, and the Cubs are hot. The Brewers are hot. The Giants obviously are not. Are you still worried about the wild card for the Diamondbacks? Do we have a shot at that?
So let me look at the projected standings right now. But I actually am not that scared of who we face in the wild card. If we do get a wild card, I'm really not that terrified. If it's the Rockies again, I think we have them. It's not going to be the Cardinals.
Who pitches the wild card game for you? Who's our starting pitcher for you for the wild card game?
Oh man, who would I pick? I would pick Corbin. I don't think there's, as of today, I would pick Corbin. But I mean, I think someone else commented this. Lavula is totally going to pick Greinke. They love their veterans. Yeah. He pitched well for us. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want to hear you.
I think Greinke pitched all right in the playoffs last year. Did he start that wild card game last year? I can't remember. I think
they took him out pretty quick.
Yeah, it was like four innings, something like that. Because wild card game, we were there. The Brew Squad was there. It was just, okay, we scored a run, they scored a run. We scored two runs, they scored two runs. Yeah, I don't think Greinke lasted very long.
No. What do you guys think? Who do you think?
I put Corbin in there because it's a one game elimination to me. I'm going with Corbin. Ray, at this point, Ray to me is still too shaky. Gottlieb is unpredictable. Buchholz is injured, and Greinke, he's on a hot streak for me right now, but I don't put Greinke out. I would put Greinke out there for maybe game two or game one of a series.
Yeah, and just
I mean,
a
personally,
quick
I think.
Corbin's-
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think it comes down to how Ray or Gottlieb looks going into this, you know, second half-ish of the season. But, you know, unless either one of them, like, blows us away, then, yeah, I agree. I think Corbin.
Yeah. Agreed.
Excellent. And you also like Socrates Brito.
I do.
Where do you see him ending up? I don't think he's going to get a September call-up unless somebody's injured or maybe even two people are injured. Where is he going to end up next season? Are we going to keep him around? Is he a trade ship? What's his destiny?
I would love to hold on to him for one more year and give him, like, 250 straight plate appearances starting, you know, with Pollock gone next year. There's definitely a hole. We'll see what the budget looks like in the off season, but it just seems like the D-backs don't really want anything to do with giving him an extended shot in the major leagues, which, you know, is disappointing. I mean, he's had a good year in AAA. It is the PCL, but I mean, you see improvements in the walk rate, strikeout rate's about the same. And then you see this over 100 point increase in his isolated power. I would love to see him get a shot, and he's got speed. You know, he's pretty good on the base pass, plays pretty good defense. I don't think he's going to be, you know, an absolute slugger, but I think he can be a good overall, well-rounded player.
I agree. Plus, he has an awesome name, right?
He does have an awesome name. It's always a plus.
What a burrito.
So crazy.
He played pretty well. since 3 years ago. But
I think he plays well. I like seeing him at spring training games. I like reading about his minor league performance. And then maybe you're right. They do bring him up. They only play him for one game or two or three games in a row. He doesn't really click. And then they send him back down. So maybe he does need more playing time. Maybe he does. Who knows? So, all right. So let's move on from this. Let's talk about the Machado trade. Obviously, we didn't get Machado. But you had said Corbin Drury and a mid-level prospect is not even close from Machado. Meanwhile, the Dodgers gave up three prospects and a couple of hand-me-downs. Do you think the Dodgers gave up too much for Machado?
No, I think that trade was probably pretty well. pretty fair. I've read a few opinions on from a couple different writers that said yeah, it's pretty fair. Yusniel Diaz actually has had a pretty good year. That Dodgers prospect now going to the Orioles. But I think, yeah, definitely what I said at the beginning of the year was talking about getting a full year of if the Diamondbacks were going to acquire Machado in the offseason, you were getting a full year of him. And yeah, I don't think Corbin and whoever else I said would have been enough.
Drury.
And I just want to say how disappointed I am that the Dodgers got him. That really, really hurts my heart.
It does, man. It's aggravating. I mean, it's like they're buying they're trying to buy a championship again, like 5 years in a row now. And I don't think it's going to work out for them. I really don't. I think their issue is pitching. I think their issue has always been pitching. And I think Kershaw is probably going to go down towards the end of the season again with another back problem. So
probably.
Sounds like the Dodgers are going to try and hit their way into the World Series. And if the Diamondbacks can't answer with more runs than the Dodgers, and the Dodgers might just win themselves there, not the Diamondbacks. So,
God, that lineup is so good.
Yeah, if we did make a move in the next couple of days here, who would you want? We get one guy. We're going to make one move. Who do we go out and get?
This is hard. I can give you, like, criteria of a guy I want, but picking a name is going to be tricky. I said Zach Wheeler in that midseason review that I did, but basically what it boils down to is I want someone who's gonna sit into the middle, the back end of that rotation, and it still has at least a year of service time on there. Zach Wheeler does fall into that, and then I would also love to see a lefty reliever. I don't know how I feel about Zach Britton, but I do think pitching is where we should go because that's gonna be our guys. In the rotation now. So as we were saying, the batters, I think there's room for improvement. Jake Lamb, you know, Steven Sousa getting Owings off there. But I don't think it works like that for our rotation. I mean, we can see improvement from Robbie Ray and Zach Godley, but I don't think we're going to see as much as we can from our bats. So I would definitely, you know, like to see a younger pitcher with some years of control left who can slot into that middle of the back of that rotation. I don't know. Do you guys have any names?
Yeah, there's so many to choose from out there. You know.
There is.
I don't know, man. I definitely think pitching is what we need. I don't think that we need any more bats. I mean, we went out and got Jay. He's a bat. You know, we went out and got Sousa. He's a bat. We just need the bats to start working. But I definitely think that we need pitching. And I don't know. And it would be nice to have somebody who has a year of control as well for next season. So, really, whoever has the lowest whip rate, you know, somebody who's not going to be walking people, somebody who's not going to be giving up big juicy meatballs. We got enough of that going on, so it doesn't matter to me as long as they can produce and they can compete.
Yeah, interesting here. I just read about Zach Britton. The Diamondbacks are not listed in the teams that are barreling ahead on with the Orioles. So,
yeah,
does not sound like Zach Britton's going to be a guy.
I read that earlier, and I don't think we're going to get him either. So who knows? So let's move on here. Earlier today on the Brute Squad Facebook page, I had posted a quote from Ross Stripling, the rubber face man. He says, "I think it would be pretty demoralizing." Speaking of the NL West, something they would say, "Oh crap, that's not going to be any fun. You've got to deal with Kershaw, Hill, Wood, Maeda on the mound, and now you've got to deal with Turner, Kemp, Muncy, and Machado. That's almost a super team, I feel like, on paper." is he trolling us, or is this a genuine, I feel bad for everybody? Because to me, he's trolling us. And to me, if he's trolling us, my response to him is, who the fuck are you, Ross Stripling?
Right, exactly.
So what do you think? What do you think?
No,
Pat?
He's totally trolling us. I mean, look at the guys he quoted. Maeda Hill, the old man who can't stay on the mound because of his fragile skin. He's actually quoting Max. He's actually saying Max Muncy like he's some kind of superstar. Just because you made the home run derby does not make you any sort of a superstar.
Right. Max Muncy is like the new Trevor Story. When Trevor Story came out, like, what, two seasons ago, he destroyed the Diamondbacks with all of his home runs. He was, you know, hitting everybody. But then he, you know, pitchers figured him out and he settled into his own. And that's going to happen with Muncy too. Kemp, obviously, is a big name out there. Kemp's shit. He might get the he can get an MVP award this year. And Justin Turner, Gwildor. I don't think Justin Turner's that much of a threat to us at this point. So, but all I know is I don't like Ross Stripling now because he talked and he thinks that he's cool, but he's not.
Yeah, he's having his first good year in the majors, and he thinks he's hot shit.
Right, right. And he actually lost the All-Star game, or maybe Dave Roberts lost the All-Star game. What do you think about it? Why did Dave Roberts leave him out there? Was Roberts just done with the game? He's like, it's the All-Star game. It doesn't matter. The game's tied. We're going in 10 innings. I want to go home. Or what was he doing? Why did he leave Stripling out there?
I would assume because it's his guy and he wanted to see him, succeed in the All-Star game. I can't really say for sure. I know they don't care about that All-Star game all that much. But how many D-backs pitchers didn't pitch in the All-Star game?
we were 0 for 2 for pitching it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was pretty disrespectful, but, you know, the Dodgers, it's the Dodgers. To me, the Dodgers, that was the National League was the Harpers and the Dodgers combined with a couple of Cubs in there. You know, and I hate all those guys, man. They can all catch a boat. So, Patrick, Turnbar.
About Harper possibly cheating in the home run derby?
Yeah,
was that
his dad that was throwing batting?
Yeah,
practice?
His dad was throwing
his
balls
his
before
dad.
They landed or went out of play or something like that.
I believe in conspiracy theories. I think it was a conspiracy. Harper's last season in Washington. Washington is just so happening to host the All-Star game. Harper's not as marketable right now because he's not doing that well. And so he's shaving his beard. He's trying to put cornrows in his hair. He's trying to look like Jason Momoa as much as possible without getting darker skin grafted onto him. So, yeah, I think that the whole experience was a big fluke. And then during the game, when it was actual live, uncontrolled play, Harper didn't do shit during the game.
No.
Yeah, I think he struck out swinging a couple of, at least two times. But, yeah, Harper's a douche, Chen. Nobody likes him.
Oh, yeah. Harper's got to be the most overrated baseball player in all of baseball, period, the end. It's not even close.
I'm going to laugh if he gets $300 million this offseason.
$300 million. I don't think that that's going to happen. That would have to be like, what, a 10-year, 13-year deal? I don't think that they're cutting those checks anymore. I'm guessing, what did J.D. Martinez get, 125 mil, 150 mil? I'm guessing Harper gets like 180, 190. But for who? What team? Is he going to the Cubs? Where's Harper going?
I mean, I think you got to say the Yankees at this point. I don't know, though. They have so many outfielders. It could be the Cubs. I'm still not ruling out the Nationals, but not sure.
Yeah, but wouldn't the Yankees be going after Machado at some point?
Yeah, they probably will be. They definitely will be. I don't know.
I mean, honestly, I think
the
Yankees are going to go Machado or Grove, man. I think Machado is going to be their guy, especially when, you know, unlike Harper, and I think they're the same age. I mean, he's proven himself year in, year out, and Harper's like up and down. He's like, you know, he's like another version of like Upton, you know, all this talent and not quite, you know, there.
I wouldn't want Harper on my team, even if I was a guy that probably is only going to play maybe half in Major League Baseball. I would not want him just watching all the stuff that he does. He's more concerned about his image and less concerned, what seems like, with the team. The comments that he made at the beginning of the season with talking to the media about how we're 13-16 with the Syracuse Sequoias or whatever their name, their AAA name is. I thought that that was disrespectful and not professional at all. I would never want to play with Harper on my team. And now he's got minor league numbers. Yeah, Papelbon is the man, dude. Papelbon invented the brute squad the moment he jumped and choked the shit out of Bryce Harper, dude. I love that.
That was
dude.
Great.
I love that guy. I will buy him a whole truck of beer just because of that. And we'll just sit there and watch all the YouTube replays of Harper getting choked the fuck out.
I'll buy him a container of beer.
Let's wrap this up with one final question for Pat.
Yeah.
Is AZ D-backs fan in D.C. the self-appointed police officer of the snake pit?
Oh, yeah, he most certainly is. No, me and him have gone back and forth a few times, but I'm actually facing him this week in the snake pit fantasy baseball league. So I've had it out for him since he picked, yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out if he's real.
I don't know if he's real.
I sometimes think that he's like one of Jim's alter egos.
I think he is Jim's alter ego. I think
you've never seen them post at the same time in the same place. Ooh, Jim.
You're not wrong.
Right. All right, man. Well, Pat, thanks for joining us, man. You do have a lot of great insight. I'm actually really impressed. And thank you again for wanting to participate in this. And maybe in the future, I think maybe definitely in the future, we'll include you. And maybe we can get a video interview going. Maybe we'll catch a game together.
Yeah, definitely. I would like that. This was a lot of fun.
All right, cool.
All right, dude.
Turnbar, you're going to send us away.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Brute Squad. We're going to be on some point later next week talking hopefully about two victorious series. We'll see what happens here. But until then, stay strong, stay cool, stay awesome, and check us out on Facebook. Later, guys.
Later, man.
Later.